everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Hello, everyone. My special guest today is Jessica West. And I had the great pleasure to actually meet the beautiful Jessica in Toronto this past weekend. And it was an absolute honor to be in their presence and, you know, through the affiliation of the DA Academy to actually be in the same room and talk and embrace and get to know each other was pretty phenomenal, wasn't it, Jessica?
Oh, it was. I totally agree. It was amazing. But, you know, it felt so natural too.
It really did. Yeah. Yeah. The connections between everybody there was absolutely amazing. But having Jessica on, I've heard her story before through another colleague of ours. And when I heard her story, it really touched me because of the journey that Jessica has been through. Jessica's going to get in now of number one, saying where she's from and a little bit about herself. And then number two, she's going to start getting into her story. And the reason I wanted her to come on here is because I know that whoever is called to listen to this particular podcast, you will definitely resonate with her story, but it will also be a tool to help you to heal. So Jessica, if you want to, you've got the floor, my girl.
Hey, all right. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. It's really such an honor to be here, truly. And hello, everyone. So my name is Jessica West. I was born and raised in Northern Ontario, Canada. I lived in Canada my whole life. I lived for a little bit in Western Canada in my young adulthood. And I mean, I guess I'll hop right into the beginning of my story because I think like many, I mean, I had a relatively okay childhood. You know, I think a lot of us, we look at our childhood and then we think, oh, well, people have it worse. So I guess I got it good. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with that. And somewhere along the way, I started to lose a little bit of belief in myself. I started gaining self-doubt, started to lose my sense of self-worth, which again, I think happens to a lot of us, especially like in those, you know, preteen high school ages when we just want to fit in and we can take the comments of our peers and really to heart. And, you know, do we fit in? All of that kind of things. And so I started to lose that sense of self-worth, but I wasn't aware of it because you don't know what you don't know. And for me at that point, I thought that was just the way that life is. I was just dealt the wrong hand and I just had to live with it. And so I didn't really put much more thought about it, just that this is who I am. I'm not worth much. And, you know, I just got to get used to it and go with the flow. Anyways, I ended up leaving my hometown to go to university. And then I ended up transferring and I went to British Columbia. And then I ended up deciding to take a break from school, from my degree after I received my diploma. And so then I ended up moving to the Canadian Rockies. And it was there that I started to understand energy, understand a little bit more about myself. So I started hanging around with a different group of people. And these people were Reiki practitioners. They were really into spirituality. So I started learning that and I started to find myself a little more. And I started to realize that, you know, maybe I did matter in life a little more than I thought I did because we're all energy beings. And so we all do impact the world around us, whether we're aware of it or not. And so I started to really become aware of that. And that started showing itself in my life and the way that I would show up in my life. But due to some unforeseen circumstances, I moved out west with a boyfriend and there were challenges with him and his family. So we needed to come back home. We were both from the same town. And so I had come back home. And then within a week and a half of returning home, that's when I was in a severe motor vehicle accident. I don't remember the accident itself, but I remember waking up in the hospital to someone squeezing my hand, calling my name, saying, "Jessica, Jessica, can you hear me? You were in a car accident. You're now in the Sudbury Hospital." So I was in a hospital that was, you know, 3 hours outside of my community because my community didn't have the facility to be able to support the injuries that I had sustained. And so when I woke up from my coma and I was informed and I started piecing everything together, I was told that, yes, okay, I was in a car accident. I had 17 stitches in the side of my face due to the shattered glass. I had broken my neck right at the base of my skull. I had fractured my pelvis in three areas. And then I had a severe traumatic brain injury. And with the traumatic brain injury, then I was told a whole list of limitations for the rest of, my life. Like, I would likely be an independent for the rest of my life. And so I should consider putting my dog up for adoption because I can't take care of myself, let alone take care of another animal. I would never be able to return to school to finish my degree. I would never be able to return to work. And then with all of that, I mean, it's kind of like good luck with the social life after that, because who would really resonate with someone, you know, with having experienced that? And so all of this was kind of dumped on me. But I had that moment that we hear so often that people have when they're facing death, when they're laying on their deathbed and maybe looking back at their life, maybe in regret, thinking of the things that they wish they would have done while they had the chance to do it. I was having that moment, and not because I was in any physical danger anymore at that time, but because life as I knew it was ending, because I was no longer going to be able to live it the way that I had previously. And so a bunch of thoughts were going through my head, being like, why didn't I take that chance? Why didn't I believe in myself? Why didn't I do that? But then while I was thinking about that, something else occurred to me, and it was that those sabotaging thoughts that I once had, those thoughts of like, well, you're not good enough. Well, of course you can't do that. Those were no longer there. And that left me feeling two ways. I mean, first, I felt abandoned because, and Shannon, I'm sure you're familiar with this, we, even though the thoughts that we have make us feel horrible, make us feel like insignificant and just like a crap, we are so used to feeling that way that it's just the way that we are. And that's how I had lived my life up until that point. And so I thought me and my thoughts were one. I didn't know that I was actually separated from them. I thought that my thoughts would have had my back. And when I was facing that moment, not really knowing who I am, with all of these limitations, thinking, oh my goodness, what now? Those thoughts that I thought was me, that I thought was my identity, weren't even there. And so then that left me feeling angry. Angry at just how much of my life I had given to those thoughts in my head that weren't there when I needed them. And I had given them so much power that they really didn't have. Once you take the power away from your thoughts, they're powerless. They only have the power that you give them. And so most often, the only real limits that we face in life are the limits that we accept in our own minds. They're not actually there. They're only there if we want to believe them as being there. And so that led me to my first aha moment of my accident. And I had many. I'm not going to get through all of them today. But my first aha moment was that our thoughts are only as real as you make them. And I really became aware that I'm the creator of my life. My life is seriously coming through me. Like everything that we're looking at, like we are taking all of that information in. It is coming through our own minds. We are computing it in our brain and we're shooting it back out and we're defining it, giving it our definitions, our qualifications, all of that. We are looking at life and creating our own reality based on the lenses through which we choose to view the world. And so we are literally the creators of our experience. And when I became conscious of that, I said, okay, well, I'm going to make a different choice now. And in that moment in the hospital, I said, no matter how I recover, I am not going to let those thoughts in my head hold so much weight on my life anymore. And part of me felt like liberated, like a sense of freedom. Like I can really do anything that I want in this life. And it was that one belief that really kept me going. Now, it's not to say that, you know, I didn't have challenges in the next 3 years. So it was 3 years of full recovery. It was hard. And I had a lot of self-doubt, a lot of, you know, just questioning, like, what am I doing? And I had a lot of even like exterior things happen, like people not believing in me. And then it was making me think about myself. Maybe I can't do this. So it was a really tough 3 years. But being able to hold that first aha moment, reminding myself that like your thoughts are only as powerful as you make them, that really helped me get through. And from there, I was able to start my own business and then write a book and launch my podcast, connect with amazing people. Now that's more towards the end of my story, but I want to mention one thing beforehand. And so that belief that I held really helped me through that 3-year process, but I was still subject to the regular things that people feel when they face big traumatic experiences like that, in particular brain injury. And I already touched on it before, having that identity crisis and being like, well, who am I now? What do I do? And that whole first year of recovery, I had pushed myself so hard because I had in my mind that I wasn't even really supposed to be in Northern Ontario. I was supposed to be in Alberta, and I didn't want to be back here because it wasn't a good situation why I had to move back. And so I was a little angry about that. And so I remember as soon as I got discharged from the hospital, it was Thanksgiving 2015. And I said, I'm going to go back to BC in the new year because I'm not supposed to be here. Now, that didn't happen because I started to realize that, you know, maybe I was affected by the brain injury and the accident a little more than I had thought. But I worked so hard. I started studying right away. I started exercising right away. I would go outside and walk for 3 hours. I would even start putting dumbbells in my backpack so that I can get back to an ability to be able to hike mountains again. I was working so hard, physio 3 times a week, all of that. I did all of the therapies that my team, my case manager, and all of that has suggested to me. I was able to go back to BC the following year. And so I remember it was August 18, 2016. It was 1 year after my car accident that I was unpacking boxes in the new place in British Columbia. Now I had moved out there alone, myself and with my dog. And so for the first little bit, it was amazing. I felt so accomplished. Like I cannot believe that I did this. Like I was so proud of myself. But once that novelty kind of wore off, then I started to look around myself and think, I actually don't even want to be here. I don't actually really enjoy it being out here that much. I don't enjoy hiking in the mountains as much as I let on. I let on to myself and others in my life. I didn't enjoy it. And when I started to really reflect back, I said, well, wait a second here. I was trying to chase a version of myself that wasn't even truly me. Because what I was doing was trying to shape myself to fit into my ex-boyfriend's world because I felt so unworthy. So if he wanted me, then I must be worth something. That was my whole subconscious program, what I was trying to get out of that situation. And then when I realized, wait, it's just me. I don't even want to be here. So it took me a month and a half to realize that. And then I ended up moving back home. So now I'm back in Northern Ontario. And then I had my second round of grief, I'll say, identity crisis and grief after that, because then it was really like, okay, I need to push reset on my life now. Now, what do I want to do? Now, who am I? What now? And it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was a whole year of just, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of, I mean, I was moving in a way that felt good, but to say I knew where I was going, not really.
And I want to speak on that because, I live that too. When you're living for other people and you don't realize it, and when it does become a reality to you, there's a mourning process. Mm-hmm. There is a real mourning process, and people don't understand that until you actually experience it. And it's just kind of like, wow, oh my goodness, because there is a loss with inside you because of what you held on to yourself for so long, thinking that that was you. There's a sadness that goes with it when you release it as well, because you feel like you've totally been living this lie, but it's an actual realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then to me, it was just like a blank, mm-hmm. blank.
Yeah.
What now? Do I even like, what is the point?
Oh, what are you
going? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And see, and because I did mention that, like, the one thought that I had, like, our thoughts are only as real as we make them, that held me through. But I do want to say that no matter how, like, what kind of mindset tools you have and all of that, it still doesn't mean you cannot bypass those deep inner feelings. So it doesn't matter how many tools you have in your toolbox, you will still face these, and you need to allow yourself to face them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're not going to go away until, you know, you process them. And so, yeah, I mean, it was about a year of just kind of like numb, like, what am I doing? I was working towards things to like keep going. It was kind of more of like cleaning myself up. And so I decided to enroll online to finish my degree virtually because I said, okay, well, I want to do at least something for me. And I want to be able to look at my past and say that I actually completed something. I ticked that box off. And so I started to do that. Still feeling a little lost. But then I continued to gravitate towards like mindset material. And so I would listen to like Abraham Hicks, all of their meditations. I did a lot of journaling, guided meditation, yoga, all of that. And slowly but surely, continuing to move in the direction that feels good. And that's what I want to highlight. That feel, when you really tune into the feeling, even when you're in that dark space, you can still tune into what feels better than this. Maybe it doesn't feel like so, so good because you kind of feel like flatlined, but what feels a little better? What feels like there's a little light at the end of that tunnel? And can I follow that to start feeling that sense of relief? And so that's what I did. And so the next few years, I just continued to follow that. And that ultimately led me to starting my kombucha business. Now, this was another great awareness. You know, when you go into business, especially as a solo entrepreneur, it's really a personal development thing. I encourage anybody who's thinking about starting a business, start it because it's so good. You need to dive into yourself because you are your business. The success of your business is a direct reflection of what's going on within you. I mean, it's beautiful. And then you can make money at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I doing this.
You know, because I had heard your story before. And what was the process of you deciding kombucha out of everything?
Right.
Kombucha.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, great, great question. So, when I was living in Alberta, I went vegan. And this was like in 2014. And so we didn't have a lot of those protein substitutes and all of that. I mean, we had protein powders, but I didn't really like those. And so I heard that kombucha was a great source of protein. I see now, like, not really, it's just a minimal, but anyways, that's what I heard. And so I was working at a health food store. I was actually managing the health food section of the grocery store. And so my coworker said, hey, try kombucha. It's pretty good. And so I tried it. I was hooked. I loved it. But then when I moved back to Timmins, I realized there wasn't a lot of options up here, like a small town, Northern Ontario, we didn't have a lot. And so then I found out that you can make your own. And so I got myself my own kombucha culture, started making it myself. And then of course you can make a lot of it. So I started sharing it with friends and family and they were saying it's good. And then my boyfriend that I'm with now, He's very entrepreneurial at heart. And so he kept saying, hey, you should just start a business. And I was like, oh no, I couldn't do that. But he kept saying it, repetition. He kept saying it. And so then, you know, it was probably maybe like 6 months later, I was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I will. So then I started taking the steps to start selling it at my local farmer's market. And then once I saw that, like, the community, I had great community support, and through the job that I had, I worked as a contractor for the Economic Development Corporation. So I was meeting all kinds of entrepreneurs, and I mean, this establishment helps entrepreneurs. So I had created like the best connections to be able to scale this business and launch myself into it. And so that's ultimately how it started. Started at the farmer's market, and then I decided to go full in, and I created an actual like commercialized product, and I scaled that to 24 stores around the Northeastern Ontario. And so then I was, you know, a delivery driver and delivering all of this. So it was like a different kind of business than what I wanted. I wanted to create the kombucha and put my own flavors. But yeah, I mean, it was going great until it started to get into me being the delivery driver and me, you know, doing all the bottling. And there was, you know, and then it came kind of like the errors with that, like errors in the packaging. And so I would have to repackage all of the things. And I would, to the point where like, I would literally get blisters on my hands from like having to rip off all the old labels, because I had partnered with a co-packer, but sometimes there would be errors in the packaging and everything. And because I didn't have all that set up, and that is why I went with a co-packer, well, I needed to fix all of that.
Yeah.
And so like stuck in a fridge, doing all the packaging, all of that. And so there was a lot of like, there's a lot of contrast going on, but it gave me a great moment to really reflect. And then I started to think, okay, well, like, why did I start this to begin with? Like, I love kombucha. I still drink it to this day. Like, I really, really love it. And I believe in the properties. Like, it's really, it's such a great functional beverage, and to really, you know, clear up and that gut brain connection. And I really believe in that, especially for mindset, right? Like, our brain is only as healthy as our gut. And so there's such a great link. And so for a little bit, I tried to like tweak it. I tried to like shape shift it to be like, okay, like, I want to start talking about mindset, but how can I bring both together, to the point where like, it almost felt like I was like carrying a backpack. Like, kombucha was the backpack, and I was being pulled in another direction, but I felt like I needed to carry this along with me. And it wasn't until I started to like really get clear on like, well, what is the point of this? Like, what is it that you're trying to do? Well, I started to realize that I actually wanted to share this information. I wanted to share the aha moment that I had. I wanted to let people know that like, we are literally creating our life experience, and this is our one life. All right. I know all too well that this is our one life and our one shot. And, you know, something else that I realized in the coma that like, and this is again, like, take it or leave it, however your beliefs, but there is no losing. Like, you know, the end point that we're going to is a beautiful place. Like, we are essentially on vacation here from our infinite existence. And like, this is like a huge human playground that we get to have fun with. Like, life is meant to be fun. And so I wanted to be able to share that information. But this is where deep subconscious beliefs come in again, because I started to realize that, oh, well, I didn't think I was worthy of being heard unless I had something big to pull me up. So I thought I needed to scale the kombucha business so that people could be like, oh, wow, look at this kombucha. Who's the founder? Oh, let's hear what she has to say. And it worked. But people wanted to hear about kombucha. They wanted to hear about, how do you make kombucha? And I'm like, I don't want to tell you about that. I want to tell you about this big revelation that I had. But people weren't interested in that. And so then I realized, this isn't really what I wanted to do. And I am worthy of being heard with or without anything to back me up. I don't need anything else to be able to share my story. And honestly, as I say this, I just decided to pull back on my kombucha line in February of this year. So this is very much like something raw. And, you know, when I spoke on Roberta's, on the speaker series, where you first heard my story, Shannon, I didn't mention this because this is still a work in progress for me. I am still doing a lot of inner work and a lot of reflection and piecing everything together. And so as I'm sharing this story, maybe in a month from now, I'll be like, oh, I did this because of this. Like, there's just so much to explore. And this is what I know thus far. But I'm piecing it together to be like, yeah, you know, as much as I have been doing and all of the amazing things that I've been creating and, you know, the aha moments that I've been having and the proof that I have been giving myself that I am enough, I still struggle with issues. And I mean, we all do, right? Yeah, we're never going to get to a point where we're done. There's always that next level. And so that was a huge awareness for me for the business. And so I finally decided I'm going to pull back on that. So I pulled the physical product line. I decided instead to pivot and teach people how to brew it themselves from home. So I do have a virtual course that's available on Udemy if people want to learn how to brew their own, because I didn't want to totally, you know, throw the jacket away for all of the work that I did. And it's something that I still do and something that I still truly believe in the product. And it's amazing that we can make it ourselves for a fraction of the cost of what we can get it on the grocery store shelves and healthier. Let me tell you, when you start getting into like scaling products, you really start to see the value of making things homemade, because you don't really necessarily know what's inside the products all the time. And not all of it has to be on the label, but So it's very eye-opening. But anyways, so in February I decided to pull back on that. And that's around the same time that, you know, I had launched my podcast, Empower From Within, in January. And my book also came out at that time. And that's when I really decided to step into the mindset coach. I had done the certification program. I have done so many programs, and was really trying to find my foot in all of it. And now I've really been spending time to like put that together and really figure out what is it that I want to share with the world. And so just recently it's been, yeah, I'm a self-image coach, and I want to teach people to change the image of themselves that they have, because when you're holding that image, you're not even aware of what it is that you're doing. You know, I have a story about it that I'm going to share, if that's okay. Yeah, when I was in British Columbia, and, you know, because I still had this image in my head that I wasn't really worthy. And so because I'm vegan, I remember we were at this fair. It was it was called like the corn fair or something like that. It was fall. And so I had bought this falafel wrap. And then I found out after the first bite that, oh, there's actually mayo in it. I can't eat it. So I gave it to this other gentleman, this guy that we were with. He's a classmate of mine. So I gave it to him and he was like, oh, wow. Like, thank you so much. And so then we walked together for the whole like rest of the afternoon. And he kept saying like, wow, I really like, I want to like repay you for lunch. Like, let me take you out for lunch. And I was like, no, like it doesn't matter. He's like, okay, well, like, let me take you out for coffee. And I'm like, no, like, don't even worry about it. And then I realized later on, he stopped talking to me. And it wasn't until like a week later when I told my friend, I'm like, oh, he was talking to me and now he's not. My friend was like, yeah, because you totally rejected him. I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't even know that he was asking me out. Because in my mind, I'm like, men like him do not like women like me. Like, you know? And so it's just, I wasn't even aware of it. So that's the power of your self-image, because you don't even know it. And you just act accordingly. And you end up missing some opportunities. You're not totally happy now, but I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh. That I liked that story.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought you'd appreciate it.
So looking back at your journey, what is the thing that you would take out of it the most? There's many learning lessons, obviously, that you went through that, you know, because that was, you know, basically quite a time frame there. But what is it that you learned the most through that particular time?
You know what I think is that this is all just an experience. And I didn't mention that, but that was another aha moment that I had during my recovery as I was, you know, going through everything. And it was the realization that this is just an experience. It will pass. Like the hard times will pass. And I feel like, I feel like being able to recognize that it's just an experience, it almost puts you in a position to be able to accept the situation. And accepting doesn't mean that you're going to be subject to it for the rest of your life, but it isn't until you accept something that you can release that resistance and then start transcending that. And so it really would be that this is just an experience.
By you just saying that too, it really takes the lightness. It brings the lightness into situations as well, which is huge. Because when you and I were talking in Toronto about our identities and all of that, right, we got an in-depth conversation regarding that. And now with what I do on my Facebook is I go into my past and I talk about my situations then, which had brought forth to what circumstances or whatever happened within my life, right, molded me to who I was today. But now I can step back with the experiences and just kind of look at it as that, which just takes the lightness out of it, which takes the pressure, which takes, and it actually does take feelings and emotions out as well, because you're just seeing it for what it is, which is huge. Just seeing it for what it is. It was a learning lesson, right? And yeah, that's a very powerful thing that you said right there. Stepping back for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like when you do that, you almost like, it's almost like we have two parts to ourselves, right? Like we have like our human experience, but then we also have the fuller expression of ourselves. And when we can recognize that it's just an experience, we can kind of take that latter point of view of our higher self, and it lifts that emotion, because our higher self doesn't have those emotions because it sees everything as just the experience, as just what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And it also brings me back to the spiritual aspects of things as well, that we are creators. We are a spiritual being in a human body. Our body is not us. We are inside our body. And that's one thing that I've really been concentrating on a lot lately because of the transformation that I'm going through. And we are, yeah, the experiences are there to teach us, to help us grow, and to take us to our next level that we need to go. And yeah, we are the creators. And however we choose to create or how we think, that's what's taking us to our next level, you know, our into next week or whatever it may be. And when you look at things that way, there's so much more of a lightness.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yes. So what is it that you would say, what advice would you give to others that have gone through that experience that you went through experiencing that journey right now? Self-awareness, right? That whole self-awareness for the very first time of wow.
Absolutely. Yes. Self-awareness. I talk about self-awareness all the time because it really is the foundation to all personal development. It's everything. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So self-awareness, 100%, take the time to really get to know you and examine your thoughts and your feelings and the actions that you're taking. And I think after that, I would say, find yourself a community or find yourself help, because like, again, you don't know what you don't know, and you will never know until you expose yourself to different things, expose yourself to a different point of view. So then you can come back with that self-awareness and start thinking, huh, how does that fit into my life? But if we just, and there are many, many people who think that, oh, personal development, I could do that on my own. I don't need anybody to do it. No, you need people, because it's all awareness. If you're at this awareness, you're not going to see anything else. You need someone to be able to bring you to that other awareness, to another level, right? It's not up or down or whatever. Like, I'm not saying anything's better, but just different. You're not going to know unless you're exposed to something different. And so gain that self-awareness, but then allow yourself to, you know, be around different energies to learn new things.
And people don't understand either that in order for you to grow and also self-awareness, there is that huge part of being uncomfortable. That's where the self-awareness lies, is being in that uncomfortable state. And it's so funny because I'm working on a project right now. And as I'm typing, I'm like, oh, frustration kicks in, you know, me not wanting to do it. But really, I created this because I want it. Right? I want the situation I'm in right now. But now I got to do the work and I got to get uncomfortable. And I'm like, so that's, there's a lot of self-doubt in there, but what's keeping me going is I created this. I want this. This is going to take me to where I need to go. And it's in those uncomfortable moments where now I recognize them and I have that awareness. And it's like, no, I am uncomfortable for this particular reason. I can analyze it. I can talk myself through it and I can get to where I need to go. And that's mm-hmm. where you start with self-awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know about you, Shannon, but I really like to have like high energy. I like joy. I like to celebrate. And so when I see those, when I find myself like self-sabotaging or having those doubts and like, yes, it absolutely sucks in the moment. But then I also celebrate myself and I'm like, oh yay, I'm here. This is it. This is so, so good.
Yeah, I know that. And it's just, that's what keeps me going. It's like, yeah. Oh, yes.
Knowing that it's part of the process.
It is. And knowing that whatever's going to be at the end of the process is going to be something beyond spectacular. And that is what keeps me going for sure. But if I didn't have that self-awareness and if I was where I was, say even 6, 7, 8 years ago, that's where we quit. We quit. Mm-hmm. That's not where we're supposed to quit. We have to push through that. So anybody Absolutely. That's listening to this right now, when you want to quit, that's where you got to push even harder because that's where the celebration is at the end. Push through
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. And knowing this now, I can look back in my life and be like, oh, that's what it was. All I needed to do was push a little more, but I didn't. And it's fine because I love where I am right now, but now I'm at the position to be able to see all of the things, like all of the times that I had to step it up and I didn't. And so that kind of helps me fuel to the next step too. But then again, I do just want to preface that I really believe that we all are where we need to be in this moment. And so if you missed opportunities, it's all good. There's more coming for you, but it's just interesting to be able to see that and recognize, you know, what kind of mindset you were in at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So where are you now in your life, Jessica?
Well, now things are getting exciting. I mean, they were always exciting, but things just keep getting like better and better and better. I'm really excited for it. So now I'm officially starting to offer one-on-one coaching and I have a group coaching program that is coming. I am going to do small groups. And that's something that I really believe in because I feel like this deep inner work, it's very vulnerable. And maybe we don't want to share it to, you know, a large number of people on the call. And maybe if there's too many people on the call, then we just won't share. And then we won't get the work done and we won't get the transformation that we can get. And so I have a program called Facelift, Elevate Your Self-Image, where we're really going to dive into those subconscious beliefs and start reprogramming those and then start recognizing who it is that we want to be and start embodying all of that. It's going to be in a small group so that we can really all help empower each other and feel comfortable sharing. And so I'm really excited for that because it's going to be so transformational. And so that's for me in, you know, my program offerings and my coaching hat for my podcast. I continue with my podcast Empower From Within. And I am, I've created a series called Inner Work, where I interview different practitioners and different ways to do the inner work, because healing from within is going to look different for everyone. And you might not resonate with what I did or Shannon, with what you did or anything. And so what I really love about this series is that I get to interview a number of different practitioners and give you like a sneak peek of what that modality is so that you can do more research. You can give it a try because the journey is going to be totally different. And I really want to be able to celebrate people's individualities with what they're going for. That's the podcast hat. And then I'm also an author of the book Manifesting with Purpose. And so my co-authors and I are putting on a summit tomorrow. Actually, we have our first summit and then we're going to be preparing more in the new year. And so I'm really excited for all of that, everything that is going to bring. You know, our whole book is about providing a roadmap, essentially, to be able to manifest the life that you want and become an energetic match to your desires. And so the summits will really be to bring all of our individual, you know, experience and our individual teachings, because we're all teaching on a different modality that you know, encompasses how you can manifest your life, but coming all together to share that, I think it's going to be so, so powerful, because when you hear things from different people, even though it's the same thing, sometimes it's said in like a different way or someone experienced it slightly different. And then you're like, oh, I finally get it now. And so I'm really excited to be able to be a part of that as well.
Well, I'm very excited for you because there are so many doors opening up, and you should be so proud of yourself, Jessica. Very
proud. Thank you, Shannon. Yeah. Yeah, so, I am. It's a wild ride.
Exciting, isn't it? Is there any final words that you would like to say to the audience?
Believe in yourself, and honestly, and love yourself. I know some people have a hard time hearing that, but life is you. You are your life, and you are with you for the rest of your life. And so make that an enjoyable experience for yourself. And so find what you need, do the inner healing so that you can truly, truly love yourself. I first started with Bob Proctor, some of his programs. And I remember going to an event and he said, wake up and kiss yourself, and he kissed his hands. And I was like, huh, that's cute. Okay. But no, I really get it though. And especially when I'm doing like some of this inner child healing, I'm honestly giving myself hugs and I give myself high fives, and I get it, kissing yourself on the hand. And so self-love, just love yourself. You are this whole world that you are experiencing. It starts with you.
That was absolutely beautiful. That was so beautiful. Oh, well, thank
you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thank you, Jessica.
Well, thank you so much, Shannon, for having me. Like, this has been really, really amazing.
And I want the guests to know that the people that are listening to the podcast to know that all of the information that Jessica had shared regarding her book, her podcast, her coaching, all of that is going to be in the podcast notes. And at this time, I want to get into the closing notes, and I want to say thank you so much for being a part of my journey, and for us getting to know each other in Toronto. And yeah, we're going to start to get to know each other a lot more. So I want to thank you for that, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You as well, Shannon. I'm really so excited for things that are coming. I know I want you in my future, and I'm really so excited for what's coming. And it was such an honor to meet you in person.
Well, thank you very much. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.